have to roll with the punches.
Yeah, you got to roll with the punches. Hi, everybody. Your old friend Mike Houlihan. Welcome back to Hibernian Radio. We're brought to you by McCann's Irish Oatmeal, Mike Haggerty, Buick, GMC, Volkswagen, and personal injury attorney Carol Ann Gallagher. And we're getting into the Christmas season here, having a blast. Don't forget, tomorrow, Sunday, we're having our big second annual Hibernian Hooligan Ball at McGaffer's at 7737 West Roosevelt Road in Forest Park. Come on by anytime this afternoon between 3 and 7. Sunday afternoon, we got the Larkin and Moran brothers. We've got St. Stephen's Green playing. We have the Murphy Roach Irish Music Club. And we have about six Chicago Roses of Tralee, a bevy of beauties there. And we're also raffling off a case of Paddy's Irish Whiskey and gift certificates to Cork and Kerry, Lizzie McNeil's, the Galway Arms, Emerald Loop, lots of joints. So come on by. You can win a lot of stuff. We're also going to have a split the pot. So I'm looking forward to it. But tonight we have two brothers on. You know our focus has been on Irish first responders because we believe that Irish first responders, cops, firefighters, paramedics, are the modern-day equivalent of our old mythological Irish warriors laying down their lives for us every day and our family. So we have two brothers here today. We have Brian Larkin from the Chicago Fire Department. Welcome,
greetings,
Brian.
Greetings. Thank
and
you.
His little brother, an his little you. Brother Matt, who's a Cook County Sheriff's deputy,
yep.
over at 26 in California, right?
Yep. Thank you,
Matt Larkin. So welcome, you guys.
Thank you.
Matt, you're the youngest. You're the younger one.
I'm the younger one.
Are there any other guys in the family?
Just the two of us.
Yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
That we know of, anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Was your dad in law enforcement or a fireman or anything? Or?
He was a mailman.
Oh, that's right.
For, I would say, over 40 years.
Oh, yeah.
37 years he was retired in May of 98. But prior to that, he had a route in the Beverly area.
Was near, he? Yeah.
Yeah, near Ridge Country Club.
Sons of veteran letter carrier Jim. We learned early about community service and shown how helping others could result in a rewarding career. Also a great way to get to know people. Yeah, when you're opening their mail all the time. Oh, just kidding. How's Jim doing?
Well, Jim passed away.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
Jim Larkin.
A little over a year ago.
Last
September.
Yeah.
Yes.
How about your mom? How's she? Is she still around?
Mom's still here. Mom's doing well.
Her. What's her name?
Carol.
Hi, Carol.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas to you. All right, so, Brian, you have 21 years in with the Chicago Fire Department, 9 as a fireman.
Yes.
As an engineer, and the last 5 as lieutenant.
That's correct,
You're a relief lieutenant, so you work, and on his off hours, he works for a company driving teams of doctors for organ transplant on your days off from the firehouse. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's...
Are you guys always in a hurry then? I mean, do you have the siren on and stuff?
It is a rig. It's a Suburban that's equipped with lights and sirens.
Oh, so it's a legit emergency vehicle.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Typically, it's up to the doctors to decide, but usually on the return from wherever hospital they get taken to for procurement, as they like to use the terminology, then they usually like to have those lights and sirens going.
So you go with the doctor to the hospital to pick up the heart or the kidney or whatever the heck it is.
Correct, yeah.
And then you haul ass over across town.
They'll usually, if there's a procurement, as it's called, they have they might have several teams.
When you say procurement, that's somebody donates their heart. It's actually somebody probably dies because of that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're usually kept at their hospital, you know, and the family, you know, there's been a lot more honor towards these donations recently, and I think it which is a great thing. I think that certainly in the press they've gotten a lot of good attention, Well, they should. Yeah. Oh, no, yeah. Without a doubt. I mean, life goes on because of, you know, these donations.
And let's give a nod to our old pal Jesse White, right?
For,
he's been plugging that for years.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's, I mean, countless, really. But to think about, you know, you might have a team that might be collecting the kidneys, and another team, you know, it's there for the heart, but they're usually coming from different hospitals.
Oh, wow.
Because of priority level.
Well, now how do you know when you have a call or something? Do they?
The company I work for, they'll contact us ahead of time and say you have to go to Loyola, pick up this team at such and such time, and then take them to a hospital, or they might have to go to
and then
Midway.
A doctor accompanies you when you're transporting.
I'll pick up a team of surgeons, and they'll then go to
team of surgeons. You drive them too?
Yeah. Wow. It could be three guys or more.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. And then
what kind of car is it?
It's a Chevy Suburban, so size rig, and it's got all the bells and whistles on it, even before it puts the bells and whistles on it. And it's got internet, all that stuff, hi-fi, lo-fi, and all that
kind
of thing.
It's a cool side job.
Yeah.
Better than laying asphalt or
wallpaper. I've done that as well. So, well, not asphalt, but certainly, pounding nails and doing any other kind of work. But you're on call for 24 hours.
Yeah.
So you're playing straight and narrow, you know.
Okay.
Got to be ready. And, there's plenty of times you're getting that call in the middle of the night. And, you know, hey, you got to
be
here.
So you're on duty, basically.
Yeah.
For a certain amount of,
Yeah.
And what about you, Matt? You've been a Cook County Sheriff's deputy for 20 years?
Yeah, at the end of the month, it'll actually be 20 years.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks.
Actually, I saw Sheriff Mike Sheehan last night.
He's dearly missed.
Oh, I'll bet he is. He's a terrific guy.
Yeah.
And so you're working in the courtroom. Well, you're telling me about a judge. Who is the judge?
Judge Obisch.
Okay.
James Obisch. Yeah. I've been with him for, I'd say, a little over 10 years now.
No kidding.
And, great guy. We handle all kinds of, felony cases from the low end of the spectrum of simple possession all the way up to felony, rape, murder.
So when he gets, it's not like you're doing a trial that like takes a long time, or this is just.
Oh, no, it's courtroom. We handle like the motions, trials for the whole duration of the case.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And, I bet you've seen some crazy stuff come through there.
I've sat through a lot of crazy trials, a lot of high-profile cases.
Like what? Can you talk about them?
Sure.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
I know. I'm trying to think of a really
beer
good
and
one.
Think about it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I'm just trying to think of like a really good high-profile one that we had.
When you guys were growing up, now Brian's 3 years older. Was he on the fire department when you decided to go to the sheriff's office?
He actually got on the fire department 1 year before I got on the sheriff's department.
Oh, only 1 year. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
So previous to that, I was working security at St. Xavier University.
Oh, were you? Right in the neighborhood there. Now, you both went to Brother Rice. You're both from Queen of Martyrs Parish.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. Great parish. Had an old girlfriend there, Mary Jo Arnold. I still think of her fondly.
Yeah.
But enough about me. So he's on the fire department. When did you get on, Brian?
So it was February of 99.
Okay.
I was.
And what were you doing before that?
Well, I guess I could say I haven't had a real job in 25 years. I was on streets and sanitation
for you?
The city of Chicago.
Oh, good for you.
So, I was
your dad was the neighborhood mailman. You guys must have had some clout.
Had to have some connection, right?
Yeah.
He knew all sorts of things and
Jim
or people.
Jim Larkin. Uh-huh. Wasn't there a famous Irish orator, Jim Larkin? Do you remember him?
That is correct, yeah. There's a statue on
O'Connell Street. I've been there.
Yeah. Right across from.
He was a big union organizer and everything.
He was in
the
early 19th century or 20th century.
Yeah.
He was
quite a legacy. Yeah.
And statue's right outside of the GPO.
That's right. Yeah.
So
where they had the Easter uprising and everything.
So one of my, I of course had to get a picture, and I had to call the old man when I had an opportunity to travel there with the Emerald Society.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the
Are you a piper or anything?
No, I'm. I guess we were considered groupies because we were
I'm an associate member of the Emerald Society.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was good friends with Bill Donnelly. I know one of your previous guests.
Yeah.
And the opportunity to go down there with one of our other friends who's here with us tonight, Greg Moore.
Oh, Greg. Yeah, you guys all went to Ireland together. I'll bet you had a blast.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It was a great time.
Yeah.
They really took care of the group.
Yeah.
As we had like three tour buses.
Yeah.
You know, landed in Dublin, drove out to Cork, and started there. We did 10 days. Throughout the land. Stayed primarily south. We did spend a day visiting up north, but
Ireland is a preview of heaven. We bring a group every year. Actually, I'm going in January.
Are you?
Yeah. Well, just 13 people this time.
When are you leaving?
January 9th.
Ooh, all right.
Yeah. January 9th through the 18th. Yeah. It's going to be wild. We're doing it well. Let's talk about the Larkin brothers. All right, so Matt, then you went on. Did you work at the jail first?
No, I actually had the privilege of working in the court system.
The whole time.
Yeah, the whole time.
Good for you.
So yeah, when I actually joined,
did you start in Judge Obisch's courtroom?
No, when I first got on the department, I was like on the floating list. So you would just kind of have
what's that
different
mean? The floating list.
You'd have different assignments every day.
Just be available.
Yeah. And they'd put you in, like, different courtrooms where another officer might be on vacation, or out for some reason. And I had a pleasure meeting this one deputy, Mickey Carroll. She was kind of in between partners and stuff at the time, and she asked me if I wanted to, work with her.
Oh, cool.
And Mickey was great.
Yeah.
Awesome mentor.
Mickey Carroll.
Yeah. She actually unfortunately passed away two years ago.
I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah.
Tremendous person, though.
Yeah.
So she took me under her wing.
She must have had a lot of years on, I would think, huh? With the sheriff?
She had over 20.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we were working with Judge Palmer.
Yeah.
And courtroom 702. And, it was a great room. We had great chemistry in there. Just all the different personnel from the state's attorneys, the public defenders, the clerk. It was a great experience, and we actually try to still have reunions once in a while.
Oh, that's cool.
Courtroom 702 reunions.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just kind of, get together and bring up old stories,
Yeah. Anybody ever go nuts in the courtroom?
I've had to tackle a couple people.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I have.
No kidding.
There was one individual, Damon Toy. He was up for post-conviction and sentencing.
He was an offender.
Yes.
Damon Toy.
Yeah. He had gone through a jury trial. He was convicted by a jury of his peers.
Yeah.
And, he was making his post-conviction.
What was the crime?
Sexual assault.
That piece of crap.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
so he was like, they were going to sentence him.
So he was trying to file a motion for a new trial.
Yeah.
The judge denied his motion.
Yeah.
And he had this large folder of paperwork in his hands because he was a pro se defendant.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to be my own attorney. You know what they say, he has a fool for a client, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he's all upset because the judge denies his motion.
Yeah.
He grabs his folder and does like...
Whips it?
Tries to whip it at the judge.
Yeah.
And as his arm's like halfway up, I end up tackling him.
Good for you.
He did manage to get the pass off, so he hit the wall behind the judge and this, just like snow shower of papers just like comes, raining down on the judge.
Yeah.
And I tackle him into the table, a couple other deputies.
Handcuff him.
Yeah. We wrestle him down, handcuff him, and like, hey, now you get to sit here, for your sentencing.
Yeah. And handcuffs.
In handcuffs. Correct.
What did he get?
Do
you remember?
I believe the judge gave him 75 years.
Whoa.
Yeah. He deserves
an extra 5 years for throwing that crap at me.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I imagine that kind of stuff goes on pretty regularly, though, right? Well, you got to be on your toes.
Yeah, it's the felony division. People are looking at a lot of time.
You know, I remember seeing those. You'd see a guy who had murdered a kid or whatever, and the parents have to get up and get the victim impact statement. And then at the end of their statement, they take a leap and try and strangle the guy and stuff like that. Like, well, the cops got to be on their toes for anything like that.
Correct.
And yeah. I'm imagining
I've never seen, you know, somebody want to attack, you know, a defendant like that. But, yeah. You know.
Well, it'll happen, I'm
They'd
sure.
They'd be justified for it.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Oh, that's kind of, and so you hear all these horrible stories every day, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Of all the sordid stuff that goes on. And, what's Judge Obisch? Is it pretty cut and dry? And guilty.
No, he really likes to talk.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Oh
man. Yeah, yeah, he'll make really long, you know, grand rulings,
oh,
you know,
yeah,
talking about both aspects of the case,
oh,
you know, the state's, you know, presentation.
So he enjoys being a judge.
He really does. Yeah.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, because it certainly gives him a platform to, you know, kind of yeah. be up there and hold court, if you will,
yeah,
for quite a while. So a lot of the court reporters would nickname him Slobish.
What so, if he's listening to this?
Well, he might be.
Yeah. Hi, Judge.
Yeah.
That's great. Slobish.
But they like it because, you yeah. know, it's a lot more transcripts for them to transcribe, oh, yeah, and they get paid by the page.
Well,
so.
You see, so you know all the state's attorneys who come through there.
We've yes.
had several of them on the show. Actually, we had a guy named John Maher. Do you know him?
I do know. Yeah.
Okay.
I know
John.
John
prosecuted that nutty guy who hit the Irish girl, Natasha. You remember that? Natasha McShane. Thank you. With the baseball bat. Do you remember that case? And John was the prosecutor, and he gave his closing argument with the baseball bat in his hands.
Yeah.
He gave the guy like 90.
I do remember
years.
Hearing yeah, yeah about that trial. I was.
But you see stuff like that all the time, I guess.
All the
yeah.
time.
Wow. Yeah. yeah. And so, Brian, you're a relief lieutenant.
Yes. I got promoted 5 years ago. And
yeah.
So relief lieutenant just means that I get to work.
So you're the new guy every week, kind of. Yeah.
I always compare it to being like a substitute teacher.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
You know,
yeah.
You're wearing a different hat everywhere you go. You got a different classroom of sweat hogs everywhere you go. So you're,
yeah.
you know,
being
prepared.
And when you go, do you stay like a 48-hour shift there? Or
it's a 24-hour on
okay.
and then off for 48.
And do you get moved around once a week or every other day? Or?
You know what? It could vary. Typically, I'm here for a day, and that's,
no kidding.
That's actually we have a group of guys I'm assigned to a district, and
yeah.
That's our slogan: just here for the day.
Oh wow!
And that you know whatever goes on today, whatever your problems are, whatever you know, because
yeah.
everybody, as great as the job is, somebody's always got something to complain about.
Oh yeah!
And so usually that could be the response of.
And they're coming to tell you about it, and you say, I'm just here for the day.
Yeah, I'm just here for the
Take
day.
It up with the regular guy.
Yeah. I'll listen for so long, you know.
Yeah.
But it has been it's been a great challenge.
And it's something new every time you go in the joint. Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. Have you worked in almost every firehouse in the city?
Not in the city. I have worked in, on the south side.
Yeah.
Just about every firehouse.
No kidding.
I'm assigned to a district, and there's 25 houses that are in our district.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And so,
how many districts are there?
There's currently five.
Oh, okay.
So five, you know.
In the whole city.
In the whole city, yeah.
yeah.
They count the airport as one of them.
There's sure.
Obviously, downtown area
yeah.
is one. Two is north side. Three are both of the airports, and then four being the west side, and then the fifth is from 67th Street. To the south end, from the lakefront, as far west as the
city limits
are.
Do you know where
are.
You're going ahead? Like, do you know
usually,
next
yeah.
week I'm going to be here or next
yeah,
week I'm going to be there? Yeah.
Usually I'll find out at least the day before. So if I'll be working tomorrow, I'll find out, you know, where I'd be going the next
and
day.
And do you go
on
to
Monday
a lot of
well.
Joints that I've been here before? I was here a month ago. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So you get kind of get to know the guys and
yeah,
stuff.
It's great in that regard, really.
Yeah.
I mean, you get to meet a lot of personalities.
Sure. Oh, the fire department has tons of personalities. You better believe it. Yeah.
Well, they don't give a personality test, but they certainly
they
could.
Should.
Yeah, and you could categorize every one of them.
Yeah.
Right? you'd run out of titles, I think.
Yeah.
But as far as, you know, I could go to an engine, I could go to a truck, and just, you know, being versatile in a sense of who we could, possibly
now, who's
work
the fire
with.
Commissioner now?
It's Richard Ford.
See, you don't hear much about him.
No,
you hear about Eddie
kinda,
Johnson all the time, but this guy keeps a low profile. He's smart then.
Yeah.
I remember Cortez was a guy for a while, right?
Yeah. Cortez Trotter.
That's it. Yeah.
He was...
Do you know Pat Fitzmaurice by any chance? Do you know him?
I know of him.
He's a field chief of ambulances, a bunch of ambulances.
Yes, yeah.
What
he's
a
on
character.
The EMS side. I've heard more of his stories on your show than...
Oh, really?
Of course.
Oh, good
well,
for
of
you.
Course. I'm a regular
Oh,
you know,
that's
listener.
Good to hear. Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, you know what? I don't know if I told anybody. I looked on our website the other day. We're breaking through over 11,000 people on our Hibernian Radio website, which is pretty cool. And we've only been on the air since January, so... I'm very proud of that. And that's,
impressive.
And that's because of you guys, thank God.
You do a good job.
Thank you.
I certainly admire have listened on the radio for
terrific.
Quite a few years. And
you got any memorable stories you want to tell us, Brian?
Well, you know, like I said, you know, being a reliever, every day I'm working with a different group of guys, and you learn... through trial and error, you know, what is important to communicate with your guys, you know, so that they know what their job is and what you expect from them. And
you learn to keep your mouth shut on the right occasion, right? It's like,
well, you know, like they said in the movie, you know, Saving Private Ryan, you know, my complaints go up. I don't complain down to them. I complain up the chain of command there. And listen to what they've got going on. But unless you sometimes make sure that you clearly explain to what you expect to have happen. Because, you know, on a fire scene, there are certain assignments each guy on a particular
radius. And you're a lieutenant, so you got to go into action and say, hey, you got to do this. Yeah.
Right. And there are certain expectations. If you're the guy who's assigned to the pipe, meaning you're at
What's the pipe?
That's
the hose?
That's at the end of the hose with where you're opening that and you're putting water on the fire. The guy who's assigned to the hydrant, that's the guy who's typically he has to drag hose to the hydrant. He's got to open the hydrant, make sure that everything's flowing properly on that, and then sends the water to the engineer. The engineer then sends the water to the hose line, the attack lines that we have. And there's different sizes.
So everybody knows
lines.
Their job. And
right. But you learn right away, don't assume that they know what you expect them to do.
Yeah, exactly. Assume nothing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there was a fire just about a year ago that I was at. Not too far from Gately Stadium.
Yeah.
And as we're on our way there, middle of the afternoon, we could see a nice black column of smoke coming up and recognize that there was certainly a fire. And as we pulled up in front of this building, it's all those row houses there along, you know, the Pullman area, you know, so there's no gangways, you know. You either go around to the next block to get to
go
the back
through.
Or you have to go through the house.
Yeah.
So as we pulled up, we parked on the block, and I get off the rig. I have my gear on, my tank, and I've got my tools to start, you know, if I have to open the door. Well, the front door is open. It's middle of the afternoon. Everybody's up, and they're watching what's going on. And I go through, and they say that fire's up on the back porch, but it's up on the second floor.
In their house?
In their house.
Okay.
So I go in there. We go up, and we look. We see where it's at. And then typically I would get on the radio and call. You know, bring in to the front door. We'll, you know, explain to them what I want to do. And I start calling on the radio, and there's no response. I'm like, all right. I go back down the stairs. I go out the front door, and the engine is gone.
It's gone? They just drove away?
They drove. They did. And so
the house is burning.
Right. Well, it's gone. Well, turns out one of the guys thought that it was... the garage that was burning behind
it. Oh, so he thought he'd go around.
Said, oh, well, we'll just, well, without telling me or without me telling them to do that, which was clearly not what I was going to do. And so the guy who was on the ambulance, they had followed us there. And so the guy who was on the hydrant left his equipment on the hydrant. And they pulled away. They thought that they were going to knock this fire out in the back. Well, meanwhile, the second engine pulls up. And
they're standing there in the
street. So the hose is on the ground. They left. They disconnected the hose and just pulled around thinking they were going to. So I told the second engine, I go, disconnect this line. Rather than pulling your own hose off, you don't have to re-bed it. And so sure enough, they connected it. Here we go
I'm
in.
I'm sure you had a few choice words for those guys when they
I then asked the battalion chief. I said, did you tell them? No, I thought you'd.
I thought you did.
Yeah. And it was. But I realized at that point in time that you just don't.
Go
you don't assume.
Go with the flow. What are you going to do?
And they wanted to do something else. And, well, that's just not how it's going to work here right now. So we did try to clear the air after. But
Now, do you know where you're going next week? Do you know what house you're going to be at? Or
you know, one of your friends there, a fellow Mount Carmel grad, was from 67 to Dorchester.
Alan Webb.
Alan Webb, yes.
Yeah,
exactly.
The Dublin man.
And and Frankie Moe.
Oh, Frankie Moe, yeah.
Of course, too.
Yeah.
And so I've been sitting at their house, their regular captain.
Oh, no kidding.
He's been gone. So they
also they have you come
so
in.
So I've been, kind of sitting there for maybe for the month, hopefully.
I would imagine that's a fun house. You know? A fun house.
Yeah. It's a good house, relatively new. They built it in 2003.
When I was working for the Sun-Times, I did a story on that house. I think when Frankie was there and Alan. And, you know, it was a neighborhood thing because it was near Carmel. And that's where I went to school. So it's about Woodlawn. And we did a little piece on the firefighters.
Yeah, they still have it pinned up on the
wall.
Oh,
that's terrific.
Framed and everything.
Oh, God bless
them. What are their favorite pieces up there?
Now, Matt, is there like a barracks for all the sheriff's deputies in the courthouse, or you just show up and go right to the courtroom?
There's a locker room in the basement.
Ah, okay.
So, if you want to go down there and change.
A lot of towel snapping down there and all that.
Lots.
So everybody's working out, pumping iron and all that?
All that and more. Absolutely.
That's funny. This is brothers busting chops. That's good.
Locker room. You got your radio room down there. Grab your radio and your keys.
Okay.
There's lots of people that don't know what their assignment are. So they'll probably go to the office.
Oh, it's listed on a sheet somewhere.
Even once they get their assignment, don't know what their assignment is.
Yeah, even then. Yeah. You know, it's like, where do I go?
Now, are you the only cop in Obisch's courtroom?
No, I do have a female partner.
Oh, okay.
Alice Moreno. She's fantastic
Alice.
Hi, Alice.
Yeah.
Her and I have been partners now for, I want to say, a year and a half.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
So she's tremendous.
So that's like two cops in a beat car, basically, when they're partners. You get to learn each other's likes. And just, cool.
I've gone through quite a few partners over the years.
Yeah.
You know, just.
And when the judge comes out of you, the guy goes, all right.
I am.
Oh,
yes.
All
rise.
Good for you.
Yes. This honorable branch of the Circuit Court of the County of Cook is now in session.
Oh, yeah. And honorable judge, what's his first name?
The honorable judge Obisch presiding.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's pretty cool. You guys, I am impressed by your public service. And not only that, the fact that you risk your lives every day. You never know what could happen. So God bless you both.
Stay
safe out there, will you?
Thank you.
And thanks so much for coming out. You'll have a very Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you.
We'll see you soon. Okay. Yeah,
happy birthdays.
Yeah, yeah. Monday's my birthday.
We're all celebrating our upcoming birthdays here.
Oh, Matt, that's right.
Yeah.
Yours is the 17th?
No, Matt's on the
17th. Matt's the 17th. Yeah. Yours is the 20th.
Yeah. My daughter's on the 15th as well, so a little.
And we figured out that we probably were all conceived around St. Patrick's Day.
Absolutely.
I don't know what you told your daughter. But
usually there was either some Guinness or some green beer involved. In
okay.
That,
right? All right. God bless you guys.
And the broken condom.
Oh, don't say that on the air. For it up.
Oh, but we love her anyhow.
What's her name?
Alexis.
Alexis, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to take a break here on Hibernian Radio. Thanks to you guys, the Larkin brothers, Matt and Brian. Keep doing what you're doing, guys. God bless you both.
Thank you.
We're going to take a little break here. We'll be right back after these messages from our friends. There's no friend like an old friend. Southside cousins Mike and Dick Haggerty have been selling cars for over 45 years. They've been in business together since 1982, when they started their first store, where everybody in the old neighborhood bought their cars. I go way back with the Haggertys. Mike's a Mount Carmel alum and Dick is St. Ignatius. Dick and Mike have been particularly classy to me over the years. Whenever I visit their showroom, it's old school. Buick GMC at 9301 South Cicero, or the Volkswagen store at 89th and Cicero, both in Oak Lawn. So do yourself a favor. Get to know the Haggerty family. You'll be delighted you did. I'm currently driving a used car I bought at Haggerty's. It's a gem. And when I think I got lucky, I have to tell myself, no, it's because Haggerty took good care of me. God bless him. Call him today at 708-423-5000, 708-423-5000, or go to HaggertyCars.com. Generations of Southside Irish have been happily driving Haggerty cars for generations. Visit Mike Haggerty Buick and GMC at 93rd and Cicero, and Mike Haggerty Volkswagen at 89th and Cicero. And tell them Hooley sent you. And if you're a first responder, you just might get a better deal than I did.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
Come gather round the fireside, you're welcome one and all. All your troubles down upon the flagstone. For young and old with stories told, we'll join the noble call. Sing and dance until the morning. It's Christmas time in Carrigaline. From Donegal to lovely Leitrim, there's snow across the plains, the candles in the window. It's Christmas time in Ireland again. In the haggard, all the fields are crisp and frosty. Morning mist is all along the hillside. The younger hearts are sleeping, in the morning they'll arise, and the snow outside will be a gleaming. It's Christmas time in Carrigaline. From Donegal to lovely Leitrim, hot whiskey for the soul, a brandy for the road. Now it's Christmas time in Ireland again. It's Christmas time in Carrigaline. From Donegal to lovely Leitrim, there's snow across the plains, the candles in the window. It's Christmas time in Ireland again. The smell of goose, the peat and pine, they'll always fill the air. With holly green and straw upon the manger, you can always trust the mother's touch to make the house a home and welcome in the kindly stranger. For it is Christmas time in Carrigaline. From Donegal to lovely Leitrim, in the dark of winter's light, a star is shining bright. It's Christmas time in Ireland again. The party in the pub is spilling out into the churchyard. Come on, do you have no home to go to? The sermon's almost done, now do you think we'll make less calm? And up to the punching for the sing-song. It's Christmas time in Carrigaline. From Donegal to lovely Leitrim, don't mind the bitter cold, the embers are aglow. It's Christmas time in Ireland again. It's Christmas time in Carrigaline. From Donegal to lovely Leitrim, There's snow across the plains, the candles in the window. It's Christmas time in Ireland again. It's Christmas time in Ireland again.
They say Irish women can be a strange blend of shyness, of pride and conceit, yet they have a stubborn refusal to bow in defeat. Their hate is as fierce as their devotion is grand, yet there is no middle ground on which they will stand. My family and friends tell me this sums me up exactly. I'm Carol Ann Gallagher. I am a proud Irish immigrant and now a partner at Dwyer & Coogan, a personal injury law firm here in Chicago. I was born and raised on a little island off the coast of Donegal. I studied and practiced law in Ireland before emigrating to Chicago 11 years ago, and I took up the practice of law here too. As a personal injury lawyer, I've been blessed to help those who find themselves in vulnerable and tragic circumstances. In my proud representation of families injured by the negligence of others, I've secured millions of dollars in verdicts and settlements for my clients. I can be your advocate. I can have your back. I will fight for you when you feel like you have no fight left within yourself. For more information, please go to my website at dwyercoogan.com or give me a call, Carol Ann Gallagher, at 312-543-4642. That's 312-543-4642. All of our consultations are free. Thanks for listening.
When your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes are third generation, family owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind, and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later, as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. At Sheehy's, the name on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehys took very good care of our family. And you know, you never forget something like that. Their entire staff cares about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike LaRocque, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913. And we're back on Hibernian Radio. Hey, that was great stuff with the Larkin brothers. And that's what it's all about. Brothers, family, first responders, Irish first responders. And speaking of family, I want to remind everybody, hey, don't forget, and that's the Larkin brothers. The Larkin and Moran brothers are going to be playing for us on Sunday at the second annual Hibernian Hooligan Ball over at McGaffer's, 7737 West Roosevelt Road. You're all invited. Everybody's invited. And it's going to be the Larkin and Moran brothers. It's also St. Stephen's Green, another great band. The Murphy Roach Irish Music Club. Comedians Bridget Booty McGuire and Pat Chase. And I think we got a half dozen of the Chicago Roses of Tralee, gorgeous gals, all very talented. Maybe they'll get them, we can get them to sing a song. Just going to be a great afternoon on you. We hope you can all join us. We're raffling off gift certificates from all our favorite restaurants and a split the pot and a case of Paddy's Irish Whiskey. So you don't want to miss the fun. But while we're talking about family, Billy, I wanted to hold off on this, but I got a call from Jeff Lang. You remember our friend Jeff Lang with the Emerald Society? And every year they have a big banquet in September. And he told me that the 2020 Irishman of the Year for the Emerald Society of Illinois is yours truly.
Who cares?
Very good. But I am very honored and humbled. And, boy, you'll be hearing about that for the next 9 months. But that's pretty cool. And that's because of this show, I'm sure, and our relationship with the Irish first responders and the police, the firefighters, and the paramedics. So thank you, guys. I'm honored. And, of course, we're going to fill that. It's at Gaelic Park in September. We'll fill that room. But now I would just want to say, you know, Billy, whenever I'm walking down Western Avenue and I look in the window of Ken's or Wrong's or Hart's, and I was over there yesterday, I see the ghost of my old pal Jimmy Goff through the mist. He says to me, hey, holy, who died? James D. Murphy, age 88, earned his undergraduate and law degree from Northwestern University. Jim served 2 years in the U.S. Army during the Korean War. He established his law practice, specializing in estate law for over 50 years. He was an avid competitive sailor, storyteller, Irish history enthusiast. Jim is survived by his daughters, Carolyn and Beth, sons, James and Brian. God rest his lovely soul, James D. Murphy. Also, Vincent Connolly, 102. He was blessed with a spectacularly happy marriage to Marguerite for over 50 years until her death in 2001. He was a lifelong resident of Chicago until his move to the moorings of Arlington Heights over 20 years ago. His immigrant Irish parents had 4 children, all now deceased: Eileen, Vince, Jack, and Clarence. He served in the U.S. Army from 1941 through 1946, eventually joining George Patton's Third Army in its sweep through Europe. He maintained an abiding fondness for meals throughout his life. Well, who hasn't? He and Marguerite raised 5 children: the late Matt, Vince Jr., the late Mary, Tom, and William. Collectively, they provided him with 13 adored grandchildren. God rest his soul, Vince Connolly, 102. What a guy. Robert Bob Liston, a former Chicago insurance executive and devoted family man. He died just last week, right before Thanksgiving. He was born on Chicago's north side on Christmas Day, 1933. Bob was a devout Roman Catholic, a third-generation Irish-American, and a U.S. history buff. Survived by his wife, Ann, daughters, Ann, Susan, and Kate. And stepsons, Don, Michael, and a bunch of grandchildren. So God rest his soul, Bob Liston. Margaret M. Burkney Kennedy, formerly of Skokie. She was born in Dublin to Winifred and Thomas Kennedy. She immigrated to the United States, settled in Chicago in 1955, where she eventually met and married Bob Burke, an Irishman from County Offaly. On June 11, 1960, they were married 45 years. Together, Margaret and Bob raised their 3 children, Patrick, Bob, and Anita. She loved to take vacations and traveled often back to her homeland of Ireland over the years. A funeral service will be held in Ireland, and Margaret will be laid to rest at Glensnevin Cemetery. Well, that's pretty cool. God rest her soul, Margaret Burke. James P. Hernan, 77, a native of Ballybeg, Barna, County Galway, beloved husband of Mary Hernan, and the loving father of James and Michael. God rest his soul, Jim Hernan. And finally, Joseph Wynn, age 94, a native of County Kerry, Ireland, longtime resident of Elmhurst. He was the beloved husband of Margaret, loving father of Joseph, James, Margie, Michael, Teresa, and late Richard and Mary Ellen. God rest his soul, Joseph Wynn. Okay, thanks to PGOD and his lovely wife Mary for helping us with those. Every week they give us the obits, and we owe them a lot. And also thanks that they just made a donation, by the way, to our Hibernian ball, so thanks again for that. And anybody else can do that too. You know, you don't have to be at the party. Well, we'd love to have you at the party, but if you want to make a drop, you can just go to hiberniantransmedia.org/donate, and we'd love to have you, your money. Okay. All right, we're going to take a little break here, and we'll be right back after these messages from our friends. There's only one Irish pub in the Chicago River, and that's Lizzie McNeil's at 400 North McClure Court. We spend a lot of time there, taping the Hibernian radio show at Lizzie McNeil's every Wednesday night. You can escape the hustle and bustle of Navy Pier and relax at Lizzie McNeil's. Our old pal John Wren is your host. Please say hello when you stop by for one of their ice-cold brews in an authentic Irish pub. One visit and you'll be calling it your hometown hangout. We've been hanging at Lizzie's for going on 10 years now, so join us. When the weather gets nice, they have two outdoor patio areas where you can take advantage of the sunshine and a cafe menu of salads, sandwiches, and appetizers. Lizzie's also has a great private party room that's perfect for birthdays, graduations, and most nights at Lizzie's you can meet the elite of Chicago's Irish-American community. So stop by Lizzie McNeil soon, right by the river, and tell them you were sent by your old pal, Hooley. Thanks. With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150.
This is Mike Houlihan. I support Concern Worldwide. If you want to do something about global poverty, hunger, refugees, the unacceptable suffering of young children, if you want to reach people directly where the need is greatest, you should too. For 50 years, since its grassroots beginnings in Dublin, Concern has saved and changed millions of lives. It's been the proud, relentlessly compassionate face of Ireland to the world. Support Concern today at ConcernUSA.org. That's ConcernUSA.org. There is no more Irish thing you can do.
The floor and clean the hearth and set the fire to keep, for they might visit us tonight when all the world's asleep. Don't blow the tall white candle out, but leave it burning bright, so that they know they're welcome here this holy Christmas night. Leave out the bread and meat for them and sweet milk for the child, and they will bless the fire that baked and to the hands that toiled. For Joseph will be travel-tired and Mary pale and wan, and they can sleep a little while before they journey. To Lord is Glan on Tialach, is Command on a Grishig Dio.
Er aglagod jogig siad yn nocht Is yn dawn o colag o swan Na môch yn cynnel ar bar Ach ffog i lastag y gian Sgymeg sheet cynta ar ein gwyl Ffad ysfer i'r coch So tiach Er ni hanolig mae fy sio And brush the floor and clean the hearth And set the fire to keep For they might visit us tonight When all the world's asleep Don't blow the tall white candle out But leave it burning bright So that they know they're welcome here This holy Christmas night So that they know they're welcome here This holy Christmas night
They say Irish women can be a strange blend of shyness, of pride and conceit, yet they have a stubborn refusal to bow in defeat. Their hate is as fierce as their devotion is grand, yet there is no middle ground on which they will stand. My family and friends tell me this sums me up exactly. I'm Carol Ann Gallagher. I am a proud Irish immigrant and now a partner at Dwyer & Coogan, a personal injury law firm here in Chicago. I was born and raised on a little island off the coast of Donegal. I studied and practiced law in Ireland before emigrating to Chicago 11 years ago, and I took up the practice of law here too. As a personal injury lawyer, I've been blessed to help those who find themselves in vulnerable and tragic circumstances. In my proud representation of families injured by the negligence of others, I've secured millions of dollars in verdicts and settlements for my clients. I can be your advocate. I can have your back. I will fight for you when you feel like you have no fight left within yourself. For more information, please go to my website at dwyercoogan.com or give me a call, Carol Ann Gallagher, at 312-543-4642. That's 312-543-4642. All of our consultations are free. Thanks for listening.
There's no friend like an old friend. Southside cousins Mike and Dick Haggerty have been selling cars for over 45 years. They've been in business together since 1982 when they started their first store where everybody in the old neighborhood bought their cars. I go way back with the Haggertys. Mike's a Mount Carmel alum and Dick is St. Ignatius. Dick and Mike have been particularly classy to me over the years. Whenever I visit their showroom, it's old school. Buick GMC at 9301 South Cicero or the Volkswagen store at 89th and Cicero, both in Oak Lawn. So do yourself a favor. Get to know the Haggerty family. You'll be delighted you did. I'm currently driving a used car I bought at Haggerty's. It's a gem. And when I think I got lucky, I have to tell myself, no, it's because Haggerty took good care of me. God bless him. Call him today at 708-423-5000. 708-423-5000 or go to HaggertyCars.com. Generations of Southside Irish have been happily driving Haggerty cars for generations. Visit Mike Haggerty Buick and GMC at 93rd and Cicero and Mike Haggerty Volkswagen at 89th and Cicero and tell them Hooley sent you. And if you're a first responder, you just might get a better deal than I did.
Deep, deep in deep, the south deep. Side of Chicago.
Get me out of here.
So deep, deep.
All the way up to 93rd Street.
Get me out of here, please.
Across the tracks,
where they only spoke Yaki Dak.
Oh.
And the people barely survived on a strict diet of crunchy bones and bamboo.
Hey, man, you want another drink?
Yes.
Huh? Can I get you two?
This yeah. is almost 70 years we're talking.
70
when
years?
The mix what? His teeth,
oh.
Something entered his cranium.
His cranium?
And wormed around his frontal lobes oh. and took him to a state of mind.
Mind, yes. mind, mind.
Hidden place on the other side of bunkers.
Welcome.
A crazy, silly, screwy.
Have a seat.
Known as... Hoolytown.
Hoolytown.
Welcome to Hoolytown. Don't stay too long, though.
How come?
Because you might not come back. Welcome to Hoolytown.
Why, thank you.
And you're welcome.
Yeah, we're in Hoolytown, my favorite place over on the south side of Chicago. Thanks so much for joining us. I got some who cares up my sleeve. I got a couple of jokes. In Hoolytown, you never know what can happen. So fasten your seatbelt, Alice Lang and Bailey the Beagle. And we're looking forward to seeing everybody. All the fans of Hoolytown need to come on down to McGaffer's on Sunday. Okay. You know, Billy, would you please give me a hand with this door? Push it, push it, push it, push it, push it, push it, push it. Lamar Odom and Sabrina Parr are abstaining from sex, which is why the marriage is being rushed.
Who cares?
Nene Leakes' latest clip has fans saying that she looks like a black Kim Kardashian.
Who cares?
Roman Polanski says the media is doing their best to make him into a monster.
Who cares?
Kim Kardashian slams Kourtney Kardashian for not discussing her personal life on camera, threatens to fire her.
Who cares?
After Steve Harvey's apparent Miss Universe teleprompter gaffe, no one knows if Miss Malaysia or Miss Philippines won the national costume contest.
Who cares?
Repeat offender Ozzy Osbourne had steady stream of mistresses. Rocker's wife Sharon covered up the dirty details.
Who cares?
And finally, Kris Jenner has given her friends and family Botox for Christmas.
Who cares?
Close it up. Push it, 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 push it. Billy, wait. Let me reach up on my back. Get that latch at the top. Can you get that? Oh, thank you. Thank you. Okay. We're in Hoolytown, so you never know what can happen. Okay? I have a couple of little stories I'd like to tell you. You know, there was a honeymooning couple. They're passing through Louisiana. And they're on their honeymoon. They were approaching Lafayette. They started arguing up with the pronunciation of the town. They argued back and forth until they got to the town where they decided to stop for lunch. As they stood at the counter, the man said, "Before we order, could you please settle an argument for us? Would you very slowly pronounce where we are?" The guy behind the counter leaned over and said, "Burger King." That made me laugh. Okay. A guy comes home completely drunk one night. He lurches through the door and is met by his loving wife, scowling, who's most definitely not happy. "Where the hell have you been all night?" she demands. "Oh, it's a fantastic new bar, the Golden Saloon. Everything there is golden. It's got huge golden doors, a golden floor, the works. Hell, even the urinal's gold." The wife still doesn't believe his story, and the next day checks the phone book, finding a place across town called the Golden Saloon. She calls up and places in the place to check on her husband's story. "Is this the Golden Saloon?" "Yes, it is," the bartender answers. "Do you have huge golden doors? "Sure do." "Do you have golden floors?" "Most certainly do." "What about golden urinals?" There's a long pause, and the woman hears the bartender yelling, "Hey, Duke, I think I got a lead on the guy that peed in your saxophone last night." Okay. Isn't it great being in Hoolytown? Hey, you know, before we leave Hoolytown, one more plug for the Twisted Shamrock Pub, 6462 South Central. Go say hello to Mike and Dawn. Or on Western Avenue, say hello to Mike and Mary and Bernard at Barney Callahan's Pub, 10618 Southwestern. And don't forget the Irish American News has been bringing you the news important to the Irish community in Chicagoland for over 40 years. If you want to advertise or you want to subscribe, call our pal Cliff at 847-872-0700 or email him, Cliff@IrishAmericanNews.com. Hey, hope to see you all Sunday over at McGaffer's. 3 to 7, we're having a heck of a party, and you're all welcome. 7737 West Roosevelt Road. See you there. Thank you all, and God bless.